Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 108, with Sarah Kornack and Bethann Schwamberger. Today on the show, we're talking with Sarah Guillot of SarahDesign.com. Today, we're discussing everything Photoshop. So let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the podcast, we are so excited to welcome Sarah Guillot of SarahDesign.com. Sarah is a designer with a lot of Photoshop and Silhouette experience, which we're super excited to get into some of that today. And she lives in the Northwest with her husband and their two girls. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, Sarah, we are really excited to talk with you. Could you begin by telling us a little bit more about yourself, your family, and how you got started in business?
Sure, yeah, definitely. So I've been married for 17 years. I can't believe it's been that long. It doesn't seem like it. And like you said, I have two daughters. They're 5 and 7 and a dog, and I live in the Seattle area, and I do enjoy the rain. So my day job right now is as a UX architect, and UX means user experience. So I'm doing a lot of things like user flows and wireframes and figuring out the best customer experience for people traveling through the website that I work on. And I work on a lot of landing pages, optimizing for click-throughs and conversions. But of course, when I have to make a landing page for myself, it's a whole other story. So I've been doing this for years at, you know, big corporations like Microsoft, Amazon, and Eddie Bauer, T-Mobile, and GoDaddy. So that's my day job. And then for my personal businesses, well, I wanted to start my own thing for years, but I had all these fears that held me back. I was afraid of, you know, taxes. Sarah, you'll probably get a kick out of that. And getting a business license and all those things. But like, I'm one of these people that does really crafty presents for my friends. And whenever I would give them a gift, they'd be like, oh my gosh, you should totally sell this on Etsy. And be like, yeah, that sounds great. But then I never would. And I would just keep thinking about it over the years. But now that I have kids, I'm suddenly feeling a lot braver because they're so little and they're not going to be little long, and time is precious. And, you know, I would like to find a way to spend more time with them and not have to tell a manager, oh, yeah, sorry, both my kids have been sick for 6 weeks. Not have to answer to anyone for that. So last year, I finally decided to, you know, take some steps, and I think it was October of last year, I started out with writing a couple Kindle ebooks, and so I purchased a course online, and it was really great. This is the first time I've ever followed a course, like really step by step, each chapter just doing exactly what was said, and I got all the way up to the marketing and how to get reviews portion. And then I felt like this class was telling me to do some unethical things to get reviews on Amazon. So I didn't do that. And so I didn't have, you know, the launch to millions of sales like I would really want to have. But I did get my books out there, and I was really proud of that. After I got those out, I was like, well, maybe this isn't the big plan for me. How about I look at this Etsy thing again? And so I decided to start making printables. And I thought, okay, December's going to be the perfect time because it's Christmas. People are going to want to buy, you know, Christmas printables to put around their house. So I did that, and I got a few sales. It was very exciting, and I started getting more involved in the entrepreneurial world and, you know, joining Brilliant Business Moms, of course. I know, right? And then over the course of, like, 5 or 6 months, I realized I wasn't getting much traction on the printables. Nobody wants to pay more than $5 for a printable, and there's so many beautiful ones available for free online that I would have to drive like tremendous amounts of traffic to my site to be able to make a living off of this. So I needed to kind of pivot to something else. And, you know, while I was setting up the printable shop, I spent a lot of time creating mock-ups and trying to create a system using Photoshop so that I'd be able to make these mock-up images really fast and get a lot of things listed quickly and easily without a lot of effort. And so I thought, hey, you know, I bet other shops are in this boat too. And so I started looking into creating Photoshop mock-up templates. And I've been making these for years on the job anyway, so it's kind of natural that I do this for other people. And I knew that in the course of scouring the internet for stock photo templates that there are other mock-up shops out there. So I needed to differentiate myself. And so I decided that if I could find just the right target audience, you know, a niche that's not being served, then maybe that's the way to go.
Oh, and real quick, yeah. Sarah, just in case anyone listening doesn't know what a mock-up template is, can you just explain that real quick?
Yeah, so what a mock-up template is, you know, if you have your Etsy shop, for example, and you want to put those product listing images out on your shop page, so the images that people see of what you're selling, and maybe the item you're selling, you don't really have time to take a photo shoot every single time of what it is. Or maybe you have ideas for designs that you haven't actually created yet, but you know that you can. You can take an image of some sort. It depends on what you're selling, but in my example for printables, I have a digital version of my design that I'm selling, right? So if I wanted to mock it up, I'd take a screenshot of my printable, and then I'd put it into a styled stock photography scene of some sort. So it might be like a frame sitting on a table or hanging on a wall. And so that's basically what a mock-up is. It's like a pretend scene that you've put together to showcase how your item would look in real life.
Perfect. Thanks. I love mock-ups, and I've used them for us in our items, like our planner or our book, our ebook. I just wanted to, in case anyone was listening, is like, what's a mock-up? But yeah, they're so cool, and you can do them for, I mean, all sorts of different objects, as I think you're about to tell us.
Yeah, totally. Oh, and one thing I also learned while making these mock-ups for Etsy is that Etsy has a rule about mock-ups that, and I don't know if they enforce this much, but just so everyone's aware, you know, you have your 5 listing images. The first image of your shop has to be a real photo. And if you can't, if the items that you're creating are so unique that you can't really afford to create one and take an image of it or take a photo of it, then you just take a photograph of something similar. So they require that the first image be an actual photo, and then the rest of the images can be mock-ups if you want. Mm. Yeah, it's kind of a tricky little thing that a lot of people don't know about.
Yeah, because then, I mean, most of the time the mock-up photograph is so beautiful and perfectly styled that that's the one that you want to showcase. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting rule. I bet they're not enforcing it, if I had to guess, just because I think I see that rule being broken all the time.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. And it really is a shame too if they do start enforcing it, because yeah, if you can really lay it out to its advantage to where you're really communicating what it is you're selling in the best mm-hmm. possible light, then I think that right. should be able to be the first image. But I do understand that they don't want you to represent something that you can't actually create.
Right.
So mm-hmm. it's tricky. But
yeah, misrepresentation, obviously, that would be a bad thing mm-hmm. if a lot of Etsy sellers started misrepresenting what they were selling. But I think most people, at least, and definitely in the printable world, you really are showing a representative of what you're selling. So you're not misleading
that yeah, customer. Yeah. And I have to think that printables must have a different rule, because you can't guarantee what it's going to look like to the end customer. So
true.
Yeah, so showing a digital version seems accurate, because it is a digital file.
True. Good point.
<Yeah. laughs>
How do you take a picture of a digital file?
Exactly.
So you were about to tell us before we got started on this little tangent about how you were going to start to differentiate yourself in the mock-up world. So I'm dying to hear how the rest of the story goes.
Sure. So when I was in the Brilliant Business Moms group, I splintered off into a small mastermind with some ladies from the group. And one of the ladies in the mastermind had a vinyl design shop. And so she uses something called a silhouette cameo machine. There's also something on the market called the Cricut, which is similar. But what this is it looks like a little printer, and you load it up with a piece of vinyl or paper or sticker sheet, that kind of thing. And then on your computer, you make a design, and then it sends it to the silhouette, and the silhouette cuts the design out for you. And then, so for her shop, she would sell monograms. So she would cut it out with the silhouette, and then she would take that monogram and adhere it to something like a mason jar mug and then sell the mason jar mug to the end customer. I actually bought one of hers. I love it. Everyone knows it's mine. It has my initials on it. So and she actually takes really beautiful photos. But while we were looking around at her competition, you know, on the mastermind, I was like, oh, you know what? I think that this group could really use some help with their mock-ups because, you know, a lot of the pictures were looking kind of unprofessional. And, you know, but you could really tell the shops really stood out that had nice images, either real photography or mock-ups. So then I started joining some groups on Facebook to kind of meet people and see what they were saying. And there are probably, I don't know, like 5 to 10 people almost every day in those groups asking about mock-ups. And they're saying to the other people, you know, oh, how do I make a mock-up? What do I do? What are mock-ups good for? You know, how do I use Photoshop to make a mock-up? You know, and they might be selling things like a design that goes on the rear window of a car. And then they'd be like, who can find a styled stock photo of the back of a car? And so there's just lots of this conversation going on in there. I'm like, yes, this is the group for me. You know? I can really help these people. And then most of them I find that are new to Photoshop. And I love teaching people things. And I never want people to feel dumb or slow when they're trying to figure out how to use Photoshop. So I thought, you know, this might be a way for me to reach out to them. And I began recording YouTube videos to put on my blog to kind of teach them how to do these things. And then this eventually transitioned into a mock-up design essentials course that I packaged and I'm selling right now. And so it has some short videos, probably adds up to about an hour along the lines of the YouTube videos that I make, as well as the Photoshop template files with smart objects, and I can explain that too. It has pre-styled scenes, and everything can be moved around. You know, there's some images that you can buy out there on the market, styled stock photos, where you're stuck with the things in the image where they are. So if there's a stapler in the corner and some paper clips spread across the table, you can't move those, you know. And I thought, that's so frustrating. So I wanted to make sure that my files, you could move everything around, and it would be really easy to make the scene your own. And it's actually kind of fun. It's sort of like, you know, making a little dollhouse.
I have to say, I love that about your mock-ups because, you know, I use mock-ups for our business and yours are the first I've seen that are able to be moved. And like in the past, what I've done is I'll have to take the stock photo and I'll use like a clipping tool and I'll clip off and then I can rearrange the objects. Like I'll turn them into their own little floating overlays, but it's such a pain. And so I think it's just solving such a real problem to make everything movable and really responsive.
Yeah, that's good to hear you say that too. And that's pretty advanced stuff too, even just clipping those things out and moving them around. So that's a pretty good job.
I don't use Photoshop though. That's the thing. I use like, I'm sure it takes me way longer than it should, but I use like clippingmagic.com and I go there and do the photo and I turn it into my little PNG with a transparent background. And then I use PicMonkey. I just go in and plop the overlays in. And I know that there's, you know, I think with Photoshop, it could be done probably much easier and faster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are great tools too. I haven't tried Clipping Magic. I'll have to check that out. That might be handy. But yeah, I definitely recommend Photoshop for all the other professional things that you can do with it, you know, in addition to creating these mock-ups just in terms of color correction. And I've been using Photoshop, of course, for like, I don't know, like 20 years. So I like it a lot.
Sarah, earlier in that discussion, you mentioned Photoshop Smart Objects and you were going to explain that. I have no idea what they are, so could you please enlighten me?
Yeah, absolutely. So smart objects are a function that's specifically found in Photoshop. I think it might be in Photoshop Elements too. And so what that is you can turn a layer into a smart object. So basically I would do this. For my template files, I would take, imagine there's a scene where I want you to be able to lay a printable on top of a desk. So it's kind of at an angle in the image. And if I gave you that scene as a flat image and you had to put your printable on there, you'd have to drag it in and stretch it all out and change all the perspective to make it look like it's laying flat, just like that piece of paper is on the desk. So I prepare the file by turning that shape into a smart object. And so when you open up my Photoshop file, all you have to do is double click on the smart object layer, and it opens up a new tab in Photoshop where you'll see a big rectangle, like a paper-shaped rectangle, just straight up and down, 90 degrees, forward-facing. It's not laying flat. And you just paste in the printable image that you have, and then you hit save, and you close your tab. And then you go back to the main image, and it's automatically stuck into the image like it's laying on the table, exactly how you want it. So this is great for a couple different reasons. One is not everybody knows how to stretch things out of perspective to, you know, lay them on a desk or wrap them around something or, you know, put them at an angle. So it helps if you just don't know how to do that. And it also helps you to be faster. So if you want to set up sort of a production task for all the images in your shop and you're using the same mock-up image, all you have to do is take a screenshot, open up that smart object layer, paste in the new design, hit save, and then you're done. You've made a new image. And you go in and you can do the next image and the next one after that. And so that's one of the main things. That's something that I teach in that course that I'm selling. But smart objects can go even deeper than that too, where you could have one smart object that you're using across multiple layers or across multiple Photoshop files. And so you can edit one smart object and it will change all of the other files or layers for you automatically. So I don't know if you've used any programs where you have like a symbol type tool, but this is acting kind of like a symbol. So one example would be, say you're working, this isn't really a good Etsy example, but in the corporate world, if you're working on a team of people and you're designing a website and it has a header and footer and everybody's using the same header and footer, everybody on the team through all their Photoshop files. And then one day someone says, oh, we're going to change the header and footer to green. Everyone's like, oh, do I have to go in and edit 100 files? Well, no, you don't have to. All you have to do is go into one of those smart objects, change the header and footer to green, and then every single person on the team, all of their files will be updated so that the header and footer is now green. So it's really powerful.
That's crazy.
I know, right?
It really is, though. I mean, that's like, I just think about all the time you can save. Wow. But here's a question I have. So when someone somewhere in that company or in your own business, you have to choose that smart object somewhere, right? But then how are those all linked together?
Yeah, it gets really tricky. It might be a little hard to explain, but there's a couple different ways. Like you can have a Photoshop file and then there's a layer in there and then you've made it into a smart object. And then you open up another Photoshop file and you just go to the first file and you drag that layer into the new file. And then you're automatically using the same smart object. So that's one way. Okay. And you can also actually save the smart object. It has a different extension than a Photoshop file. Photoshop file is .psd. Mm-hmm. You can save your smart object as a .psb. Like somewhere on your computer. And then you wouldn't even have to necessarily open up your Photoshop files, or you might too, to save out the image. But all you'd have to do is go find that .psb file, open that up, and edit that.
Okay. And then everywhere else that you've used that file, that image, whatever that is, it just automatically gets updated.
Mm-hmm.
That's so neat.
Yeah, I love that about Photoshop. And that's why, even though I know that a lot of people don't have Photoshop, and that's kind of a hindrance, I encourage people to get it just for that function alone. It's just so cool and handy.
Yeah. And two, I think, you know, if people just want Photoshop, I think you can get it for a $10 a month subscription from Adobe Creative Cloud, like if that's the only one you want to use.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
So it's not, you know, it's not too terribly expensive to have all sorts of great tools at your fingertips.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And Bethany, what else is included in that $10 a month, that photography Adobe Creative Cloud
package? I think you get Lightroom too.
I thought so, yeah.
And
Kim just told us all that cool stuff she was doing with Lightroom.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The other day. So then Photoshop, and I feel like there's a third one. Is InDesign included or no?
I don't think InDesign. I think that's a separate one. Yeah, I want to pull up Adobe Creative Cloud right now and see if we
figure out what's included. Okay. Yeah, I'm curious. Because $10 a month is really That's really reasonable if you're doing a lot of photo type items.
Yeah, and you can get a free trial for a month too, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, we are not affiliates of
Me neither.
we use their products all the time. Yeah. We love it, Adobe, if you'd let us be affiliates of your products, but we're not. So, if you want to sponsor this podcast episode, Adobe.
Yes, go for it, Adobe.
Go for it, Adobe.
Oh, okay. Yes, it says, well, it just says right here, get all your photography essentials, including Lightroom and Photoshop, for just $9.99 a month.
So, oh, okay. Yeah. So it's the two.
Yeah. Okay. But then ours,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. If you do for $50 a month, you pretty much get like everything. So, and that's.
Which, that's what we pay for now because we use the Adobe Audition for our podcast editing. Bethann uses. Like
Illustrator and InDesign. Yeah. Those are for like our planner.
So, so Adobe, we're using your product to $50 a month.
They're like, well, we're already awesome. We don't need to talk about that.
You could totally download Photoshop then and give it a try.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So Sarah, with these, the mock-ups and things that you do in Smart Objects, right now you're selling the class that teaches other people how to find that photograph and make it a great mock-up or use the Smart Objects. You don't sell the mock-ups individually. Is that correct or am I mistaken?
No, I'm glad you asked that because I didn't specify. So I will be selling the mock-ups individually. So I will have more of a styled stock photography shop.
Okay.
Yeah, and each of them will be a template. Every file I sell will always have Smart Objects in it so that you can easily insert your design. But right now I have the class, which includes quite a few Photoshop mock-up template files in it. So since I'm still setting up my Etsy shop, that's really like the only way you can get the files right now. But it's also the best deal. I think I posted one mock-up the other day to my Etsy shop, and I'll be adding more there. So you will be able to eventually buy them individually from that spot. But right now in the class, you get the tutorial and you get all the Photoshop files themselves too. So it's pretty good.
Yeah, okay. So people will, it's coming soon, they'll be able to buy the mock-ups like directly from you, but they also will have the option, and they have that option currently, to take the class, which teaches them on their own. Mm-hmm.
And gives a lot of mock-ups too.
And gives a lot of mock-ups. Okay. And then, so with the mock-ups, okay, this will highlight my newbiness on this topic. So a mock-up can have a Smart Object in it.
Yes.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
And Sarah's mock-ups are super helpful, and she makes them have Smart Objects. But I will tell you from experience that most of the mock-ups I've purchased, although they are beautiful, I've only purchased one from someone else that had a Smart Object, and the rest of them didn't. And it really is much trickier to try to crop in your design and overlay it just the right way. Or like Sarah said, if there's a perspective difference, then it's almost like impossible. It's like, why am I? I'm not even going to bother with this one because I don't know how to morph this shape and make it look realistic. So,
And I know we've all seen I've seen mock-ups done where they didn't get the perspective right, so then it becomes completely obvious that they're using the mock-up that it's not real life. So,
yeah, want it to look natural. So,
So, Sarah, clearly you know tons of things about Photoshop and can do all sorts of crazy, cool things with it. So, okay, once again, if I'm thinking, okay, I've heard of Photoshop, but I'm a non-design person who just uses PicMonkey or Canva. I know Photoshop is like worlds better, but explain to me why Photoshop is 10 times better or 1,000 times better than PicMonkey or Canva. What are some of the other features that you can do in Photoshop?
Yeah, so I haven't used PicMonkey for a few years. I can't remember all the features that are included there. Bethann might have more insight into that. but I actually really love Canva. At first, when I heard about Canva, I thought, oh, I'm a designer. I don't need to use Canva. <You know? laughs> What would I need that for? But then I went there and I spent like 3 hours just playing and making pretty pictures and adding in text. So one thing I like about Canva is that it has sort of pre-sized everything for you. So you don't have to wonder, like, what size is the Facebook image, or, oh, I need a square for Instagram. You can go there and you'll get the shape. So sometimes I'll start in Canva to get some inspiration, or I'll have an image that I've created in Photoshop. I upload it to Canva. I lay some text on it there, and then I bring it back out again. And sometimes I'll bring it back into Photoshop again. So they can really work together. They're great for inspiration, especially with typography. But with programs like Canva, you wouldn't be able to. It's very limited what you can do and how you can treat the text. And I don't know if you can stretch anything into angles or perspectives. I know there's that new Canva for Work. Have you tried that yet?
No. Mm-mm.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what all is included there. But in Photoshop, of course, you'll also have all the abilities to color correct. You have all the layers. You have the smart objects, very powerful. If you happen to be using Illustrator, you can, you know, make something in Illustrator and then drag it into a Photoshop file and add it in there. So all the Adobe products kind of work really nicely together. So there's that.
With color correction, that means, like, for example, you could pick just one part of your photo and change that color without changing the whole photo.
You could, yeah. You could do the whole thing, or you can select. Yeah, there's lots of tools in Photoshop for selecting. You could grab, like, if you have a picture. I've seen cute photos where people took a picture of their kid, like, you know, just posing, and then they'd select the child's shape, and then they'd keep that in color and then make the rest of the picture in black and white. So that's, like, one fun thing that you could do there. But, yeah, you can definitely select different parts and pieces. You can layer things. You can make a duplicate layer and make it sort of transparent. You can fix the skin texture on people's photos. I've done that for myself plenty of times. All sorts of things like that.
Is there a lose 20 pounds feature on that?
If you're skilled enough, yes.
I've seen these crazy YouTube videos where they'll show how they'll take, like, a swimsuit model and, like, morph her. And, like, she looks like a regular girl starting out, and then they morph her into this, you know what I mean, like the Barbie shape.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, my goodness, none of this is real.
I know. It can be scary what people can do.
And all of this to say, I don't, if anybody from PicMonkey or Canva is listening to this episode, we like PicMonkey and Canva, because I use PicMonkey all the time.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
I personally can't imagine I'll become much of a Photoshop junkie, just because it would be a big learning curve for me. But we like PicMonkey. It works really well for what we do a lot of the time. And Beth Ann's our designer of the group, not me.
And I would say too, I like PicMonkey more than Illustrator in terms of just being able to pull all my overlays in, drag them around as they are. I don't have to turn them into a vector, which is this weird thing with Illustrator. It only works with vectors and not regular images and graphics. But, yeah, Photoshop, I'm totally coming around to Photoshop because of the smart object. Like, that really is what sells me on it. And only just recently have I purchased a mock-up that has the smart object. And now I'm like, okay, that's it. I'm done. I got to do, like, all my mock-ups at least. I'm like, okay, I'm going to use, you know, Photoshop and pull them in there because, yeah, it loads faster and looks better. And, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Sarah, with your tutorials and where you teach people using Photoshop, I mean, I just said that I thought the learning curve would be pretty steep for Photoshop, but if somebody's taught how to use it, is it pretty doable for somebody who's clueless?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the things that I'm teaching in my course is just everything that you need. Like, you don't have to learn everything about Photoshop to do it. I don't want to overwhelm people with like a tour of the interface of Photoshop and like here's every single tool that's available. So I really break it down to the simple tasks that you need to accomplish what you're trying to do. So I'll teach people how to, specifically for the silhouette shops, how to get their image out of the silhouette software and into Photoshop, and then how to move layers around a little bit. And like if they were designing something that goes on the front of a wine glass, that's one of the files that's included in my shop. Like for a wedding, maybe they want it to say bride. So they've designed bride in Silhouette Studio. I teach them how to get it out of Studio and into Photoshop and how to paste it into that smart object layer and then hit save. And how to maybe change the background color of the image that's behind. If like if there's a wall, I have a couple layers where they can just click and it will be, you know, a pink wall, or click and it's a blue wall. And then I show them how they could do that on their own too, or they can just use the built-in layers that I have. So I try to keep the tasks small, all just leading up to the point of you're saving out an image and then you can just put it on your Etsy shop.
Okay, so somebody could, if they had bride and then they had groom, and they wanted them in two separate pictures or something, it would be easy to just, with these mock-ups, you can just keep switching out the design that you have from Silhouette that you want to sell on the wine glass or whatever in Etsy.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Okay. I didn't know how people did that either. I had no idea how they were getting. I've seen all of the water bottles and, like you said, mason jars and different glasses and things like that. I did not know how they were doing that end of things. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Is Silhouette hard to use or learn how to use?
I found that I was able to pick it up fairly quickly just through my familiarity with Adobe products. Like they try to mimic them a little bit. Some of the concepts are the same. But there are plenty of things in there that you just have to look up on YouTube or you have to go into the groups and ask. So there is a learning curve there too. But you can actually do some designing in the tool. If you don't have Photoshop and you don't need it, you can make yourself a little printable or something in Silhouette Studio and not ever print it out and cut it. But yeah, it's fairly easy. But you do, you know, there are some things that you need to kind of look up and get help with.
Okay, so Silhouette is a program, but it's also a machine that cuts out these vinyls.
Yeah, so the machine, there's like, I can't remember how many machines there are, but there's the Silhouette Cameo, which cuts out 12 by 12 sheets of paper. You can load those sizes in. Then there's the Silhouette Portrait, which you load like letter size pieces of paper in. And there's another one that does like metal stamping or embossing or something. I haven't quite looked into that yet. So each of those is the Silhouette something. And then the program is called Silhouette Studio. That's the free one. And then I purchased Silhouette Studio Designer Edition because it has some extra functionality, and then they have other editions like Business Edition where you can send files to multiple machines to cut at the same time, which is what we're doing for our sticker shop right now actually. And there might be another level above that of the Silhouette software.
Are Silhouettes expensive for someone who's just getting started who thinks this might be a fun business idea to try?
Yeah, I think it was, I want to say, like $200 or $250 for the machine, and it came with a little kit of items, like the mat. There's a sticky mat that you lay your vinyl or your paper or your sticker sheet on top of, and then like some tools for kind of scraping up the design off of the mat. So yeah, around $250.
Cool. That's doable.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, especially with all of the things you can do with them. You know, I mean, there are whole businesses around just creating those beautiful monograms to put on glasses, and they're really neat. I didn't realize they had an embossing version. That's pretty cool too.
Yeah, and don't quote me on that. I might have to look that up. I know there are some other really cool things that you could do, but
okay. And so then that's what you're using for. You just mentioned the sticker business that you're creating. You're using a Silhouette for that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember if I mentioned that in the beginning or not, but I am also, yeah, I have two businesses going on. I have the mock-up business, and then I teamed up with another lady that I met through the Brilliant Business Moms group, and we just launched a sticker shop. It's called sunshinestickerco.com, and that's what we use. She was using a silhouette machine already for her party supply business, and so she was already really familiar with it, and I had been, you know, using it for design and for my tutorials. And so now we purchased a few more silhouette machines so that she's able to print out on multiple machines at once. It makes it go way faster. And then you just buy the sticker sheets, and you have to set up the cutting settings for that so it doesn't cut all the way through the paper. And it's pretty amazing, actually, the level of detail that you can get on these machines and where they cut and what they do and how deep they cut and all of that.
That seems crazy that you can make your own stickers. I mean, that just seems, and have it perforated and everything. That just boggles my mind. Just that simple little fact.
I know. That alone was like the biggest draw for me getting one to begin with. I was like, oh, I can make my kids stickers like all day long, any sticker they want.
Yeah.
It's totally fun.
That is. That's super fun. Think about all the different types of custom stickers and labels and things you can do. So, Sarah, I'd love to hear like a little bit more about how you and Ashley kind of connected and decided, because I know you've never even met in person and you've gotten to know each other well enough to decide, like, let's launch a business together. Let's do a shop together. So I'd love to hear a little bit more of that story and how you decided to take the leap.
Yeah, totally. And I was talking to my husband about this the other day, and he's like, how did you meet again? I'm like, oh, we met in Facebook. And he's like, oh, wait, so have you met in person? And I'm like, no. But we're totally starting a business together. But, yeah, so her name is Ashley Monda. Hey, Ashley. I'm sure she's going to listen to this.
Hey.
And, yeah, when we broke off from the – or we didn't actually break off. We're still in the
– I know. You're still part of our
group. Yeah. But when we formed that mastermind, we met in there, and she and I and a couple other ladies have all been supporting one another. And, you know, just through some of the looking around on Etsy that we've done in the masterminds, we had noticed the interest in stickers and planner stickers. And we all thought that was kind of fun and interesting. And then the more we researched it, the more excited we got. And she and I were talking, and we're like, oh my gosh, this is pretty cool. I'm like, hey, I could design it and you could cut it and mail it. And she's like, yeah. And then and then we got together later and we're like, okay, so are we really doing this? And when I say got together, I mean over Google Hangouts. Because we had lots and lots of conversations. It wasn't like I just met her yesterday, you know, before we decided to start doing this business. We'd been having, you know, regular weekly meetings on Google Hangouts as a group. And I could see how great she was. I know about her family and her kids and you know, what a great work ethic she has. And she knows the same about me. And so I felt pretty comfortable doing that. And we both live in Washington State, though a little bit far from one another. So it just seemed like we could really make it happen. So I'm pretty excited that we launched. It's really cool.
So, Sarah, with everything you have going on, you're still a UX architect. You have two businesses on the side. I'd love to hear how being a mom has changed your approach to working life and how you're managing everything.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, being a mom now, I'm so cognizant of the fact that I don't want to work 40 hours a week. So I'm working really, really hard on these side businesses to make that happen. But that means I'm working like 80 hours a week now, all to save time and be able to spend time with my kids. So I do spend a lot of time late at night. Sometimes I'm up till midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning working on the side business stuff. Starting the sticker business means that, you know, Ashley is depending on me. So I've put a little bit more importance on making sure she has what she needs, and like my mock-up business has gotten a little bit less attention because I can't do it all and then still be able to have a fun time with my kids. And unfortunately, they see me quite a bit on the computer. They're like, oh, are you working again? But so it's a lot of juggling, and some days it does feel like just way too much, but I'm just trying to keep that end goal in mind and understand that it takes time for this to really come to fruition.
So hopefully this is a season of your life and not the permanent way things will run.
Yeah, I love that. That's great phrasing.
So as we wrap up this interview today, Sarah, we've enjoyed learning a lot more about Photoshop that we had no idea about and different cool things that you can do with Photoshop. But could you tell us a funny or adorable mom moment that you've maybe had recently with your girls?
Yeah, totally. I think you're going to like this one. So since I've started doing the business stuff, I've obviously begun listening to podcasts like this one. And I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, and there's Pat Flynn and there's, you know, Flipped Lifestyle. And so I turn them on a lot as I'm taking the kids to school because we have kind of a long commute to the school. And I didn't realize how much they were actually listening to the podcast because like a couple times one of them would say, oh, can I do that? Like talking about having their own business. I'm like, yes, you can totally do that. You know, you don't have to go the traditional route of you know, the job world. And then the other day, this totally cracked me up. My daughter said, I turned on Pat Flynn, I think. And my daughter's like, oh, I want to listen to that other podcast, you know, the mom podcast.
Yay!
I know, that's I love that.
We're more requested than Pat Flynn.
We should put that on our website somewhere.
Children request our podcast more often than Pat Flynn.
5 and 7-year-olds love us.
Because didn't Sherry Tracy's girls want her? Yeah. They requested our podcast.
They did. Mm-hmm. And someone else, it was Alyssa Herding. One of her little kids was practicing saying our names. They were like, Beth Ann Schwaberger. But she couldn't tell what they were saying at first.
That's a great story, Sarah. We like that one.
Well, thank you again, Sarah. This has been so much fun. And I hope some people who've been too scared to try Photoshop are now going to give it a try. And especially with some of your tutorial videos to help, I think they can totally do it. Sarah, can you tell everyone one more time, where is the best place for them to find you online?
Yeah, definitely. So my website is sarahdesign.com. That's Sarah with an H. And you can find me on Instagram at sarahdesignmockups. And then for the sticker business, you can find us on sunshinestickerco.com and on Instagram at sunshinestickerco.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Sarah, for taking the time to talk with us today. We definitely learned a lot.
Thank you. That's awesome. This was so much fun.
For the show notes, head to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/108. Are you perhaps opening a brand new Etsy shop just like Sarah and Ashley? If so, I would highly recommend checking out our Get Found Guide to Etsy. Beth Ann is the one who created this awesome guide, and it walks you through the steps that you can take to get found in Etsy search. It takes the mystery out of SEO on Etsy. If you're creating a new shop or adding new products, or maybe you've been on Etsy for a while and your sales aren't where you want them to be, then check out the Get Found Guide to Etsy. It's not just a bunch of theory, it's practical advice, step-by-step advice for how you can update your listings and your tags and titles to actually get found by people on Etsy so that you can make sales. And with Christmas coming around the corner, now is the perfect time to start investing in your Etsy shop so that when people begin to search for Christmas gifts, that your items are the ones that they find on that first page when they search. You can find the Get Found Guide. There's a link on our homepage, but also directly you can go to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/guide. So let me say that again. It's brilliantbusinessmoms.com/guide. I hope you're having a great day. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.